Word.
Goodbye, horses. Sorry. In the end, we would become more than horses, more than hindquarters to be slapped and brushed by menfolk, only 5 foot nothing tall, or projected into monitors to implicitly embody the sensation one feels when drinking tins of moderately priced supermarket lager, or smoking that first cigarette in the amber light of 8 o'clock in the morning, or slipping into your denim trousers after you and your secretary fucked one another senseless in some motel room 6 miles outside of town in the middle of a workday afternoon. No, we learned to speak your alien tongue. Our teeth stopped growing endlessly into the roofs of our mouths. We became productive and made shapes towards your towns, your cities, your polycentric urban agglomerations, and rose steadily from the menial through the skilled to the executive classes in your economy of all fun, no mercy. We began to fuck missionary. We took cocaine like we took your currency. There were, of course, foals, babies, fences, gardens, sprinklers. It all became very dull and whinny. Some took to painting, some to sculpture, some to poetry, some to swingers clubs, some to knitting, some to cleansing. Fences spread, enclosed, defined. We felt the world was ending, then you began to implicitly embody. Thanks.
Next up, Dean Brown.
This poem's called Sprung. It is a bit of a nature poem. It means to send up nature tropes a bit. To start with, small roots sink, then lift like infants into sky, seeming to reach for some white breast. Say a microscopic clock goes off inside them and gets them up, that you might pinch, and by winding back both hands, source heliotrope. Or else note how the iris shudders loose its purpled serviette and sneezes the bee from its nostril. How erotics flower from their monastic selves, etc. Now I am alone with this for once, and it's neither plant species nor the blackbird's flirty beak thrusts in dirt and dew, I know. I might be lying in the dark, expecting past silence, the maiden voyage of a moth, its papery sails lifting clear of the mountain ridge. At a click, my bedside lamp gives back the room and wheels it in to shipwreck on the sill. Like a sycamore key, scribbling in its ignorant, tiny vacuum as it comes to earth. An artist sketching out the path she spirals down. Tomorrow you'll be here dismissing your loneliness, mine like clothes, a black boot, a brassiere, jeans peeling down to white, and what are we now? Something like birdcatcher and lark, or those sheep dyed in the nalle-nay tangier of blues and pinks on the stone sides of mountains no one climbs. It's just how my fingers cage your breast and chase the strains, tides, rhythms of that big thing beneath your rib. It's ticking.
Next up, Ray Hanrahan.
I want to do two short poems tonight. One actually is, I suppose, it fits in well with the weather that we've been having lately. It's called A Bad Late July. A Bad Late July. I can feel the winter coming. The winds have rediscovered malevolence. The birds keep closer to the ground, mindful that severity occupies the higher space. Clouds scurry faster to the horizon, and the light declines, fades to twilight in the ever earlier evening time. No, this is one that I wrote and I had no title for it. It's right, no title. They don't make futures like they used to. All our tomorrows take place where pointy pieces of metal come close to making incisions on frightened throats, and half the world's people pray for someone to effect a violent deliverance.
Una Hennessy, please.
Pretending, I swear, worms strangle that part of me that's not supposed to care. They came out of their hole, the one probably aligned with my seventh chakra, while the Reiki healer was having his tea. I'm just kidding, really, all of which I have to do is written in code, sometimes making it difficult to decipher. But by Jove, Courtney Dash is looking lighter. I don't really care, honestly, I just wish I had the clarity. Maybe another cup of tea will do the trick, and then I'll polemicize until I'm sick of myself and those fucking worms.
Rob Carter.
Hi, I have two short ones as well. I think the first is an old one, so I ignore it. Thank God for those same old bathroom preparations, same soap sensation and familiar floss feel, toothbrushes and loose and shampoo applications, and each pimple pop to improve on appeal. Thank God for mouthwashing and moisturization, the feel of bare feet on a tiled bathroom floor, the failure of these to subvert expectation, things easy to do when you've done them before. If every day furthers your quiet desperation or brings fresh confusion or terror anew, thank God for those same old bathroom preparations. At least in the morning, you know what to do. So this is a new one, so I have to consult the book. Sorry about the mild expletive. Your friends bitch about you behind your back. They smirk and snag your quirks and all the qualities you lack. In frequent bitching sessions, they present performed impressions of your flaws and your discretions. And they take the time to mention things they would not say to you, and they think those things are true, and they damn my point of view. And no matter what you do, no matter who you are, when you're off in the bathroom and your friends are in the bar, when you're still in the station and your friends are in the car, the people who adore you and have been there to support you, and who, if it wasn't for you, could have never gotten far, bitch about you behind your back. Patricia.
Coma. I distance my breath in curatorial states. A light existence now passes away. Waking concerned stares intently, angry at not finishing the job. External changes suit my mood. Perpetual misery overfeeds the alcohol. A ragged road home doesn't register. Being taken to the door is expected. Being informed of my misdeeds by phone, noticing the Armageddon in my posture, a mother's instinct breaks the subdivided noise and want to declare to be left alone. In sleep I riot, the burning dreams correct me where I fall, natural enemies form a broken pattern, avoid association, declaring the fun they had in my absence. Parfum lights flicker after lights out. Still peter on cigarettes burn sharply. On a bedside table, along with Pringles and Coke, rebelling against type with domination and hope. The length of breath grows ever shorter, weakened by effort to stay out of the picture, disappearing by wishes to evaporate completely, living by anger, a premise distilled. Thank you.
and Charles Clark. I met a man this morning who did not wish to die. I asked and cannot answer, if otherwise can die. Achilles came from Troyland and I from Chersonese. He came from 3 days' battle and I from 3 days' peace. Was it so hard, Achilles, or very hard to die? Thou knowest, and I know not, so much the happier I. That's a poem by Patrick Shaw Stewart, who I think is not a poet, and I'd like to know a lot more about him. Gallipoli, 1915.
Yeah.
And our very own Perry O'Connell.
Keeping the classical theme, I am going to talk about Echo and Narcissus. Echo was a young lad, who had never actually seen himself. And then when he did, he fell crazily in love with himself, and that was the beginning of disaster. Echo believed that Echo unfortunately fell in love with this guy. So Echo believed she was unfairly blamed, given that she acted for the best when she tried to bring back happiness to heaven, which Hero's surly humor had eclipsed. She climbed up Mount Olympus with the notion that the queen might enjoy some of her jokes, was horrified when Zeus seized the occasion to circumvent his consort's watchful eye and give himself to further dalliance. Because of being distracted by the nymph, Hero promised Echo swift revenge. As yet, there was no hint what that might be. The nymph, deflated, has come back to earth. She looks about and wonders if a youth who befriended her is anywhere nearby. The river was their haunt, but there's no sign. For weeks, this gentle lad had told her of his love of animals and plants as they roamed the woods together, had revealed the lair of foxes and where squirrels hide their grain. But of himself, he had refused to speak. Not finding him, she joins the beaten track that winds down through the flower-filled valley where nymphs have made their home. When she describes a bronzed athletic form, loose tendrils of dark hair that frame a fine-boned face, one nymph replies, "But everybody knows that radiant boy, Narcissus, son of Sisyphus, the river god. Many of us crave his company, but he prefers to wander off alone." Echo looks down, not knowing what to say. Why was she singled out to share his lore? Glad to have learned his lineage and name, he never said his father was a god, she decides to seek him out, open her heart, and voice her growing love. So pushing black thoughts away, she sets off deep into the hills. Drawn by the sound of water, she finds him, bending from a branch over a pool, eyes gazing fixedly into its mirrored sheen. Then both his arms plunge to its shimmering depths, but clasp at nothing. This happens many times. He flails his dripping hands and seems distraught. She moves up close to offer comfort, but when she tries to speak, there's not a sound. She makes to clear her throat to call his name. Only the rattle of a magpie fills the air. Tears of frustration in Narcissus' eyes as he strides past her unaware. A knife blade twists within her. She cannot cry. Hera has cut her tongue, leaving her voice a sigh.
And Jerry Murphy.
The love child of Mary and John Montagu. I'm admitting it tonight.
Coming out.
It's coming out. Do you remember that nightmare night?
I was in a haze of joy.
This is based on a piece from the 15th century Irish. It's called On Her Hair. Hair. Your dark, intricate curls would put Absalom's luxuriant but lethal hair to shame. In your dusky tresses, a flock of nightingales could nest unnoticed with a flock of parrots. Your perfumed ringlets invited a amused poet to lose himself and find himself, then lose himself again. I could remain entangled in your black, glossy locks until time's on my own sorry end. I wrote a very short poem tonight while I was listening to the poem about the Trevi Fountain. It's called Do As. In Rome, we do.